engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
Ask and you shall receive. And the Lord says, not only will the Father give good gifts to you when you ask him, but he will give the Holy Spirit, the greatest of gifts, God himself dwelling within us. And as we hear in the sacrament of penance, when we go there for the forgiveness of our sins, in the prayer of absolution, the priest says he has sent the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would convict us of sin. The Spirit brings forgiveness because he brings with it repentance. He brings repentance. He brings awareness of our sins. The mind is enlightened. We see the things that we have done that have been wrong, and we acknowledge that they were wrong. And then that same Holy Spirit brings us the forgiveness of sins. We remember how on Easter Jesus breathed on those apostles, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." The forgiveness of sins. When we hear these words, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Persevere, persist, as this gospel parable reminds us. We think that we must persist in asking forgiveness. God doesn't get tired of forgiving us. We get tired sometimes of asking for that forgiveness. We wonder if we should. And among those who wonder if they should are those who have had abortions. Maybe some of you who are listening, certainly someone that you know, they may not even be sure that they should ask for forgiveness because they rightly perceive, at least on the level of emotion and inner conflict, that this is a horrendous evil. The killing of one's child. Should they even bother to ask God for forgiveness? The gospel of life, brothers and sisters, that teaches us what God thinks about humanity, that reminds us not only that we're made in his image, but that we are called to sit with him on his throne, that gospel of life that compels us to protect most carefully and most vigorously the ones who are most defenseless, that gospel of life that tells us so clearly how wrong abortion is, and that it is completely incompatible with Christian discipleship, that is also the gospel of mercy. And it's not a contradiction. At the same time, it is the gospel of mercy. Mercy, which first of all manifests itself in God's creating us without us having asked it or asked for it or earned it, but also in the forgiveness of our sins. The gospel of mercy. The blood of Abel, as John Paul II reminds us in that great encyclical, The Gospel of Life, issued 25 years ago, that blood of Abel, the first innocent man ever killed, ever murdered, cried out to God from the ground. Although Abel was silenced, his blood was not. And God heard the cry of the blood. And we read that throughout Scripture. God always hears the cry of innocent blood that is shed on the land. But one day, innocent blood was shed on the land. Blood of God Himself. Blood that flowed from the body of Christ. And when that innocent blood was shed upon the land, it spoke, as the letter to the Hebrews tells us, with a voice more eloquent than that of Abel. More attention-grabbing in the divine heavenly realm than that of Abel. The voice of the blood of the one who shed that blood precisely for the forgiveness of our sins. And we who proclaim the gospel of life, we are proclaiming a gospel of mercy. We who reject abortion do not reject those who have had abortions, but rather we embrace them, we urgently invite them to the peace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ, whether they have had one or two or five or 10. I've even ministered to people who have had as many as 25 abortions. Even they are called to accept the mercy of Christ and to rejoice in His forgiveness and peace and to be healed. And even indeed, not only to continue with their lives in a productive way, but to become saints. In fact, I will tell you about a gathering I had in a retreat, one of many such types of retreats that I have participated in and helped to conduct, in which those sitting around in the circle of reflection and prayer were people who not only had abortions, but committed them with their own hands as workers in abortion facilities, as doctors or assistants to the doctors who were tearing these babies apart. These people had with their own hands killed thousands of babies. I knew Dr. Bernard Nathanson very well, the man who, in his own words, uncaged the abortion monster in the United States, ran the largest abortion facility in the Western world there in New York City, presided over tens of thousands of abortions. Some he did himself, others he trained medical students to do, and still others were done in the abortion mill that he supervised. What do you say to somebody who comes asking forgiveness for having taken tens of thousands of lives? In this one particular retreat, these women sat around in that circle, and they estimated among themselves how many lives they had taken, because that's part of the process of healing. There's a particular process of healing those who have worked in abortion facilities and have come out. We have helped to conduct and train people in this particular kind of program and learned it from Dr. Philip Ney, Canadian psychiatrist who developed it. And so they estimated how many lives had been taken among them, and turned out that in that one room, The people who were gathered were responsible for taking 500,000 lives. Let that sink in for a moment. 500,000 lives. We as priests and hearing confessions hear a lot of sins. It's hard to imagine something bigger coming to us than someone saying, Father, I'm literally responsible for taking not a life, but tens of thousands of lives. They lifted up their hands and they cried during that retreat. Our hands, our clothes were splattered with the blood of these babies, they said. And they wept at the blood that they had shed. And they wept at the women they harmed by lying to them and inflicting on them all kinds of psychological, spiritual, and also physical wounds that would follow them all their lives. They wept at the damage they had done. And then by the end of that retreat, those same hands were up and those same eyes were filled with tears. And they said, but now we have been splattered with another kind of blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We saw that scripture fulfilled on that retreat. We see that scripture fulfilled on every one of the Rachel's Vineyard retreats. About 1,000 of them every year at the more than 375 retreat sites that we have operating in dozens and dozens of countries. Rachel's Vineyard, the largest ministry in the world for healing after abortion. It is a ministry of Priests for Life. I serve as the pastoral director worldwide for this ministry. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that it is such a profound joy for all of us who, as the pastoral team of Priests for Life, urgently promote the availability of this healing. Urgently call people to take hold of it. Urge them to ask and to seek and to knock at the door of God's mercy. What a joy it is when people respond, when they realize that there is hope. We proclaim mercy through our Silent No More campaign, a joint project of Priests for Life and Anglicans for Life, of which I'm also privileged to serve as pastoral director for this program throughout the world, also existing in many different countries, where we have people, some of whom are watching right now, who have been through abortion and who have concluded that it is time to share their experience with others, to warn those that might be tempted to abort that it doesn't solve any problems, it only causes new ones, but also to call on those who are curled up on the ground with their face to the ground, unwilling even to raise their eyes to heaven, unable to get up because they are so crushed by the burden of shame and guilt, having killed their own child and they know it. And saying to them, there is a light shining into that dark corner. There is a hand reaching into that loneliness. There is a Savior standing there by your side and saying, take my hand, lift up your eyes, get on your feet and start life anew because there is mercy. And there is forgiveness, and there is hope, and there is help, and there is peace. How much more, Jesus says in this gospel, will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Spirit who hovered over darkness and chaos at the very beginning of creation. As the Bible begins with that verse from Genesis, there was darkness covering the abyss, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive." They are forgiven. Over the body, over the soul, over the mind of every mother who has had her child aborted, over the body and the soul and the mind of every father who has participated in that abortion or perhaps failed by sins of omission. That same Holy Spirit is hovering. That same Holy Spirit is longing to descend and bring order out of chaos and light out of darkness and life out of death. That's what we proclaim. That's what we do. That's at the core of our ministry. May this gospel of mercy reach all those in need of it right now. May those who have received it give testimony so as to encourage others to take hold of the hand of that Savior and get up and realize that they no longer have to be crouched in darkness and shame and silence. Find out more about all this, brothers and sisters, at rachelsvineyard.org, at silentnomore.com, at abortionforgiveness.com. Find the mercy. Spread the good news. And let's all take courage from the voices of those ex-abortion workers who are able to say, "Yes, I took tens of thousands of lives, but now I'm covered in the blood of Christ." At the testimonies of those mothers and fathers and others who have been guilty of this and are saying, "Yes, I have found forgiveness." As we hear those voices and as we spread them, let's take courage. Because no matter what our sins may be, that same mercy is available to us. Let us rejoice in it, let us take hold of it, and let us proclaim it to the ends of the earth. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.